divorce, spousal support, custody issues. Rick Jones of Goldberg Jones is in the studio to give you free legal advice. Call now, 1-800-252-1025.
That's right. Call right now, 800-252-1025. Rick Jones is here in studio taking your calls about all things having to do with divorce and family law. Good morning, Rick Jones.
Good morning, Rick Jones. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, Danny. Good morning,
glad
Sarah.
Glad to hear it. Glad to hear it.
Good morning. You were at the Mariners game yesterday.
I was.
You saw history.
I did.
Did the place just go crazy with the weirdness of a catcher getting a win?
Absolutely. He actually got a standing O even coming off the mound before we knew he was going to get the win.
Wow.
And so when it came to fruition, it was pretty cool.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, well, let's get started. Again, if you've got a question for Rick Jones, call right now, 800-252-1025. It's Rick Jones from Goldberg Jones. And Carrie in Snohomish is our first caller.
Hey, Carrie, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. You got questions for Rick Jones?
Yes, I want to know. Me and my husband are going through some turmoil, and I just found out that they did some fraud on my bank account, and I'm wondering if I get a P.O. box, he can claim that I don't live there now.
Wow.
Let me make sure I understand.
My husband and I.
Okay, and you're hoping that by creating a P.O. box in your own name that you can say that you're no longer a resident at that location?
Yeah, I was
no, I think the opposite.
That.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know what? I this is where I got to punt a little bit. This certainly falls outside, granted the fact that you guys may be going through some sort of a family law issue later. Honestly, I really don't know about the situation you're in when it comes to trying to protect yourself against a criminal charge.
That's a weird one.
Yeah.
And,
that's where B. Wells has said, if you get a P.O. box, can he say that you don't live there? Is that right?
Yes.
All right.
And is that possible?
Carrie, are you saying that you don't want to leave the home?
Well, I've left because he assaulted me, but I'm back and forth. I have nowhere else to stay, so...
My goodness.
Well, and I guess I'll jump in once again. I don't see the existence of a P.O. box being a proof of either residence or non-residence. So I don't see your exposure on that any more than you already have.
Wow. Good luck to you, Carrie. That sounds like
a
tough
situation. Hey, can I point out one thing? You're not just getting free legal advice. You're getting great legal advice that happens to be free. It's a good time to call 1-800-252-1025.
Yeah, if you want to talk with Rick Jones, give a call right now. All right, we have Mark in Kent calling to talk with Rick Jones of Goldberg Jones.
Good morning, Mark. What's up?
Good morning. So, question for Rick. After about 10 years of marriage and two kids, I realize I have made a huge mistake. My wife is just evil, 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 evil. I have actually moved out. We're going through a divorce, but I feel like I want custody of the kids, but I feel like she's almost poisoning them against me now to make me be the bad guy in this whole thing. And I'm curious if, you know, when it comes down to, if we're probably going to court for this thing, am I okay to kind of prove how evil a person she is? Can I like record some of our conversations, or I actually still have access to the security cameras we set up at the house while we were together, you know, record some of the footage from that and use it? Or am I going too far?
Yeah, well, you know, you are probably going too far in those examples you just gave. In terms of recording somebody, they have to have an either know that they're being recorded or have a reasonable expectation that they are. So, for example, text messages, voicemails, those are things that you can absolutely use.
Okay.
Beyond that, you actually run the risk of harming your own credibility. Mm. The court can likely be very, very frustrated if they think that there's more of a surveillance going on. And so I would stop short of that. But, you know, given the way you described her, it sounds like you can probably get a sufficient amount of evidence in both email, text, and voicemail to be able to provide to a third party. And I'm going to take the answer a little bit further, which is rather than just it being evidentiary, where a judge or a commissioner gets to look at it and decide custody based on that, you're likely to have the involvement in a contested custody base of a case of what's called a guardian ad litem. And there's somebody that's a private entity, oftentimes an attorney themselves, that we'll be able to spend some time, in other words, do an investigation, hear from you, hear from her, depending on the ages of the kids, maybe even hear from them. But ultimately, they're the one that has the power in this, and they would create a report back to the court with their recommendations. So you really want to view that person as the most important person in a custody case.
Wow. All right. Good luck.
Good luck, man.
It's funny. Mark's call made me think of the story this morning with Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt that's coming out, that he's saying she's spreading all these rumors about him having been abusive and that she is just a hate monger and none of these things really happen. And she's poisoning the kids against him. Like, I don't know. What do you do when you think that you're your ex is poisoning you to the kids? Is there anything parents can do?
Sure. Well, and it's a problem that we face in cases very, very frequently. So it's a real issue out there. And no doubt some of it is very, very true, yeah. Right? But also, remember, you've got two human beings that know how to push each other's buttons
right.
Going through this. And so there's a certain grain of salt you start with. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, there are some tools in court if you need to. For example, it's a phrase called abusive use of conflict.
Oh.
So you can get a court order that says neither parent shall discuss any issues of the divorce with the children. But then how do you police that? So
yeah.
I don't have a great answer for you, but certainly it's not not good for the kids and not good for your relationship after.
Man,
I just read an article that started with this headline. Angelina Jolie cannot stop trying to ruin Brad Pitt's life.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what that reporter knew or if that's a fair thing to say, but boy, it falls in this area.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, if you've got a question for Rick Jones, you can call right now to speak with him, 800-252-1025. Rick Jones of Goldberg Jones, taking your calls on divorce, child custody, family law. Chris in Seattle is next.
Hey
Chris.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey.
Hey, Chris. You got a question for Rick Jones?
I do. My wife and I, we didn't make it through COVID, so to speak. And we need to get a divorce. And I'm going to come in for a consult, but I'm just wondering where things stand these days. Are the courts, finally back to normal? Can I expect this divorce to be said and done pretty quickly?
Sure. And did I hear earlier that you're from Seattle?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, King County is let's call it semi-back to normal. The backup that used to exist doesn't exist. So the access to get into court relatively quickly within even 3 weeks does exist. There still certainly are times where the hearings themselves may be video conferences or video hearings. But again, the efficiency is really back up to snuff.
Oh, nice. Well, that's good news for you, Chris. Maybe it won't take you too long.
Yeah, okay, thanks. That is good news.
You bet.
Yeah, it is. Thanks, man.
If you've got a question for Rick Jones, you can call now, 800-252-1025. And we have an email that just came in. Let's see, this is Steve at Olympia. I've been a deadbeat dad for several years, mainly due to unemployment and financial destitution. I now have a decent job, but my child support payments are based on a salary I haven't had since 2005. I desperately want to pay, but I don't make enough to satisfy the monthly amount owed. I'm tired of being a deadbeat, but I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, one of the questions he's not going to be able to answer for us live here is how old the children are.
Mm-hmm.
As long as it's still an active support order, meaning that it's still accumulating month to month, not just a dead number, so to speak, then the courtroom door is open to him to be able to say, hey, listen, I am employed. I now have data I can show you, pay stubs, et cetera, and be able to have support set at a number that's relevant and based on his current income.
Okay.
So that's his door, to get in. And unfortunately, it sounds like with so many years gone by, the kids may be out of that 18 range. And if so, that's a problem because point, it's just a back support obligation.
I know how you feel, man. When I got a divorce, I moved from L.A. to Philadelphia, where I made less than half of what I used to make, yet my alimony payments and child support was still on the same salary. So I want you to know, buddy, I feel your pain, but I think there's something you can do about it. I think you can petition the court to give you the new amount that you can afford and you can live.
Yeah, that's what Rick was just saying. What's the name of it? Is there a term that you can say, I want to go ask the court to look at blank?
Yeah, it's what's called either a support adjustment or a support modification.
I've seen a lot of people email lifecoach@kzok.com, and a lot of people ask that because their jobs have changed since the divorce decree. All right, we've got time for more calls with Rick Jones of Goldberg Jones. You can call 800-252-1025 now to speak with him. Up next is Laura in Tacoma.
Good morning, Laura.
Good morning.
You got something for Rick Jones?
I've been married for 13 years, and I love my husband. I don't really want to get a divorce, but he's horrible with money, and he keeps taking out credit cards and loans and loan after loan, robbing Peter to pay Paul, and he's just going to just absolutely destroy our credit eventually, or if anything happens to me, he's going to leave me bankrupt. And I just want to know if there's anything I can do to get him to stop extending credit. He keeps saying, well, it's in my name. And I'm like, but we're married. So it's, it's still my obligation. And he's like, no, it's mine. It's mine. It's mine. Oh, and, you know,
sure. What does she do, Rick?
Well, and obviously that tune might change if all of a sudden the two of you were divorcing and it becomes about dividing up debt, not just assets. But you do have some options. Certainly one is divorce, because marriage is a legal relationship. Basically, think of it this way, which is two people that have gotten married have formed a partnership. You are financial partners going forward. So you take the good, but you also take the bad. And that's the, you know, that's the boat that you're in right now. There is something short of calling it a divorce, so more of a moral statement on your part, which is you can seek what's called a legal separation. And what that means is you still go through the same process, you still divide up assets and liabilities, and you still address any custody issues that you may or may not have. But at that point, you now are separate legal entities, and anything he does in the future is not going to scar you.
Right on.
There you go. Good luck to you, Laura, man. All right, Angela in Everett is next. You are on with Rick Jones of Goldberg Jones.
Good morning. Okay, so my best friend is going through a divorce, and it's pretty messy. And right now, she is trying to convince her soon-to-be ex not to go to mediation because he doesn't have an attorney. There's all kinds of disputes about whether or not the house is half his, even though it's never been in his name. I mean, he's really going to lose in this situation. He's completely delusional. Is there a way that I suggested to her? I mean, it's really bad. He thought the judge, the first judge that they talked to, was fake. That's what we're talking about here.
Wow. like so an actor or something?
No, he was like, well, that wasn't a real judge. And so I'm wondering, is there a way that he could take the information that she's giving him saying, look, the house has never been in your name. You're not going to get full custody. You can't, you know, all of this information that her lawyer is giving her, and call like your office and kind of maybe confirm that, so that way he doesn't. I mean, you're going to pay thousands of dollars in trial fees and mediation fees.
Sure. Well, I can jump right in and tell you that's the obvious answer, because and even if you look at it not from, you know, your and your friend's point of view, but from his point of view, he needs to educate himself in terms of the range of outcome. And once he knows that, once he's been, you know, been able to hear from somebody that has his interests in mind, then he can make the decisions of how far he challenges on any particular issue. But yes, that's exactly the right thing for him to do. But I will also tell you, he also shouldn't be listening to your friend, right? She's the opposing party on this. So there's no way he should be giving her credibility until he seeks the information on his own.
All right. Good luck, Angelo.
Good luck. And thank you, Rick Jones. What do we got next?
Figure that out. JoJo, calling from King County, is next. You're on with Rick Jones of Goldberg Jones.
Good morning, JoJo. What do you got for Goldberg Jones?
Hi. I was wondering, my husband and I are separated, not legally yet, and working towards a divorce. We've been staying in the house together for a year, separated, sort of. Like, if he's home, I'm gone. I don't work, so I'm home during the day. And then when he gets home, I leave. Is there any issues with that as far as when we do sell the house, or can you say I've moved out? Then also, he took a lesser paying job during this time on purpose.
Ooh.
Wow. Try to lower his
So he doesn't have to pay as much child support.
Right.
Yeah. Well, two
things. What do you got, Rick Jones?
Yeah, two things I'm hearing. On the first one, when it comes to, you know, has either of you moved out? And you've probably heard us talk about this before, but if custody is at issue, or if there's an issue on who ultimately wants to try and make a run at keeping the house, then you don't want to move out. So right now, the two of you, neither of you have moved out. The facts already show that. So neither of you have stepped in a hole on that issue. So you're good on that, or at least as good as you could be. When it comes to the second issue, and remind me again, what was the second part of your question there?
He took a lesser paying job to affect child support.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, that's one where we don't have time for it, but I wish I knew more, because it's never a mathematically smart decision to do that, because child support and or spousal maintenance alimony is going to be a percentage, right? So ultimately, reducing your income but still having the same percentage of that taken out is a net negative to somebody. So I guess I would need to know more. But yeah. Ultimately, if you can show that somebody is voluntarily unemployed or underemployed, there is access to impute income at a prior level. So if those really are the facts, then you've got an argument to make.
There you go, JoJo. Some good news for you. You can prove that he did it on purpose and get your money.
Wow, what a thing. I can't imagine living in that house with my ex-wife while we're going through a divorce. Forget it. That would have been horrible.
And like taking turns of who has to leave?
Yeah, no, that was not happening.
All right, Joe in Seattle, you are on with Rick Jones of Goldberg Jones.
Good morning,
divorce.
Joe. What do you got?
Good morning, guys. Hey, I've got a question that's been burning my mind for years. This is has to do with a past relationship I had. I married a woman who had a rental house at the time. And after we got married, we moved into that house, and we lived there married together for 2 years. After 2 years, she decided she wanted a divorce. Well, me just wanting to be out, I didn't get a lawyer or anything. It's just like, you know, fine, let's just get out of the relationship. She wound up selling the house, and I'm just wondering, did I have a claim on that sale after living there with her for 2 years?
You know, it's very unlikely. And the reason why I say that is a couple of reasons. Number one, it was a home that she had owned prior to the two of you being married. And granted, that doesn't end the story right there, because if the two of you would live there even more period of time and it wasn't a rental, didn't have, income to apply to any existing mortgages, then I would tell you you might have some inroad. But the fact that it's a rental already, the funds, the receipts, the proceeds from a rental is really separate property income that was going to pay for a separate property piece of property. I'll also tell you, 2 years is not a long time to make an inroad either. So, you know, while there may have been at least a claim or a leverage point in negotiations, I don't see that you really walked away from anything material. Hope that helps resolve your years-old problem.
Yeah, it sounds like it does. It sounds like he's been lamenting that and wondering, oh my gosh, did I make the huge mistake? And Rick Jones says, no, you did not. You can sleep easy tonight, buddy. We've got time for one more call. Here's Bobby in Snohomish. You're on with Rick Jones.
Good morning, Bobby.
Good morning. So I have a question. I have been divorced for around 7 years. My ex-husband was a hydrocodone addict, and we went through all of that, plus rehab, plus Suboxone and everything. So, but we did part ways, two boys. And then when I was in going through the divorce, I made him accountable and we agreed to everything. And then every time I had to take him to contempt, because he would back up on a lot of the stuff, he would put things in the declaration that made no sense and just made me look like this awful person, because I did make him accountable and that I was the individual that made him do drugs and everything and destroyed the family. But I got my sons out of a bad, bad situation. Mm-hmm. But now, every time I take him to court, he just builds on the negative, evil things he says about me and begs the court to believe him.
So what's your actual question, Bobby?
Good call.
Is there any way that I can go back to court and have all of that retracted and in court saying, you know, or prove it?
You know, no, I guess is what I'm going to say. I mean, ultimately, and I get it. So I'm not besmirching you taking him to court for contempt issues, because contempt basically says, hey, there's a legal requirement and he's not doing it. So that's why you're taking to court. And I get it. but you can't really expect him to be too happy about that or say wonderful things about you when he's defending himself. Right. And it sounds like you're prevailing. And so that's the win you want to take.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, don't worry about the noise on the other side. It doesn't become part of your record or anything like that.
All right. Well, there you go, Bobby. And that's it for this edition of Life Coach with our very, very special guest, Rick Jones of Goldberg Jones. If you didn't get through or you want to speak with Rick in person or on the phone, call him at 800-DIVORCE or go online to GoldbergJones.com. Rick, thank you so much, as always.
Thanks, you.
Thanks, Rick.
KZOK FM HD1 Seattle, the home of classic rock from Lower Queen Anne for 10 years running. This is the Danny Bonaduce and Sarah Morning Show, an iHeartRadio station. Available everywhere on our free iHeartRadio app. Number one for music, radio, and podcast all in one. 102.5 KZOK.
Well, there was a very weird reason for a huge traffic incident, and that would be a swan wandered onto the railroad tracks, meaning swans are protected in the UK, and the train had to stop and wait, and somebody had to come and get the swan, and because the train got stuck, then it blocked roads, so then traffic was insane.
Jeez, and this happened in the UK?
Yes.
All right.
They love their swans.
They do love their swans.
But it reminded me of a time a couple of years ago. I'm not sure if you remember this, but I was driving downtown and I was with a woman who used to work with us, and she was driving, and I see it's over by T-Mobile Park. There's this huge backup and she's about to get on the ramp, and I'm screaming at her, don't get on the ramp. Don't get on the ramp. Pull a U-turn. And she's so mad at me and she's panicking. That was when the fish truck tipped over,
yeah,
and there was fish all over the road, and people were stranded there for like 5 or 6 hours.
Not the band, actual fish.
If it was the band, that would have been fun.
Right on.
But no, that was a huge traffic incident here in Seattle, and it was fish all over the road.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
So the swan is on the tracks, and it's causing a big backup, right?
Yes.
If you wouldn't go to jail at the end, how long would you wait till you killed that swan?
Oh, I don't think I could kill a swan.
I think I'd a nice guy. I wouldn't want to kill a swan. But if I'm stuck in traffic over an hour because of a goose or whatever it was,
yeah,
I would kill it dead.
Well, what odd reason have you seen for snarled traffic?
All right. I saw this on TV. So this nice young lady, her name is Mary. She's driving down the freeway. And what happens? A big giant tree falls and hits her car and hits her in the head. And that moment there, she became crazy, Mary. And we love her to death. But that was a weird one causing it. Why did the tree fall across the freeway? Very, very weird. And it started snarled traffic for hours.
Yes. Our very own Crazy Mary.
Crazy Mary.
Just randomly by a tree falling. And I think it was on I-5.
That's what I think too.
And she was supposed to go see Kansas that night and couldn't because she was in the hospital.
But we gave her Kansas tickets to another show.
Yeah, we did. Let's talk to, and by the way, you can call 800-252-1025 to tell your story. Let's talk to Gene in Puyallup.
Hello, Gene.
Yes. Good morning, Danny. Good morning, Sarah. I already said good morning to Waldo. Anyway, yeah, well, my cousin and I were driving down First Avenue in Burien, and we came upon a car that was totally engulfed in flames. There was 5 people in the car. We got them out real quick. I grabbed my fire extinguisher, didn't get out the whole fire, so I ran over to a semi, as they always have a big fire extinguisher. Anyway, got the fire all put out and pushed the car off the side. Finally, the fire department shows on. Of course, the traffic's backed up to God knows where on First Avenue and Burien. But anyway, they finally get there, and they tell us to get the heck out of the road. I had my headband on and my piece earring in my ear, and they just looked at us like we were dirt.
Hmm.
All right. That's a nice little story there.
It's kind of crazy to think Jane carries a fire extinguisher in his vehicle.
You know, I'll bet it's, is it a hot rod? I bet it's a hot rod. A lot of those guys carry a fire extinguisher. I don't carry one, but I don't have a hot rod anymore.
This is a wild text from Annette in Tacoma. She said a rendering truck overturned on northbound I-5 just by Mount Road, closing it down and snarling traffic for hours. Months afterwards, you had to roll up your windows because of the stench.
Wow. So what is a rendering truck, just so I know?
It's full of animals, animal byproduct.
That's what I thought.
Animal fat. My goodness.
So I was in L.A. because I lived there for a little over 30 years. And I'm driving down, I believe, the 405. And apparently, and I did not see this, shots rang out and somebody got killed. Well, it closed down the freeway for hours and hours and hours. Aren't we used to people getting shot on the freeway in L.A.? Why do you have to keep me in traffic? 3 hours because some guy I don't know got shot? That's goodness. Crazy. Don't hold me up in traffic for that.
Waldo, what odd reason have you seen for snarled traffic?
Well, you really wouldn't think there'd be traffic out in the middle of nowhere in Pennsylvania. But, you know, you get to a road where there's no shoulder and you find a line of cars and you're just thinking, what the heck is holding traffic up here? And then sure enough, you pass a horse and buggy.
Yep.
This is some Amish dude trying to get wherever.
Yeah. Man, is that is like the weirdest thing to see when you're in Pennsylvania, a horse and buggy. It's just so weird.
Yeah, the Pennsylvania Dutch people, that's for sure.
I love seeing the horse and buggies parked at like a Carl's Jr. or something.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I wonder if you can go through a drive-thru in a horse and buggy.
Oh my gosh. All right, you guys, it is time to play the game Farewell Yellow Brick Road.
Farewell Yellow Brick Road.
We're giving you a chance to win a pair of tickets to see Elton John's final tour, October 17th at the Tacoma Dome. If you want to win the tickets, you got to play the game, which means you got to call right now, 800-252-1025. Call right now to play and win from 102.5 KZOK, the classic rock station.
The Danny Bonaducci and Sarah Morning Show.
I hear this is where the party's at.
That's right. So you can sit down and pour yourself a tall glass of
102.5 KZOK.
Super excited for another round of Farewell Yellow Brick Road.
Yeah, Farewell Yellow Brick Road.
This game is giving you a chance to win a pair of tickets to see Elton John's final tour, October 17th, at the Tacoma Dome. But to win the tickets, you need to correctly name the Wizard of Oz character we are saying farewell to in Danny's Clue.
All right.
Our contestant will be Dylan in Buckley.
Hey, Dylan, how the hell are you?
Oh, Danny, I'm great. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you. Ready to play the game, Sweep of the Nation?
Heck yeah, I am.
Okay. Whoever named this character must have been a fan of 70s and 80s music. He came from a state named after the band who sang Carry On, My Wayward Son, and Dust in the Wind, and he was named after the band that sang Hold the Line and Africa. Who are we saying farewell to on the Yellow Brick Road?
I believe it's Toto the Dog.
That's
right,
correct,
it is Toto the Dog. Dylan. Saying goodbye to him.
That was quite clever, and congratulations to you, Dylan. And Buckley, you're clever, too. You got the answer right in Toto. You have won a pair of tickets to see Elton John's final tour, October 17th, at the Tacoma Dome. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com. And Danny, we're going to play this game again tomorrow.
Well, it's going to be a good thing, because I like this game.
Me, too. We're going to play this game, Farewell Yellow Brick Road, again tomorrow at 7:10. Well, coming up next, the funniest kid that we know has a fantastic joke for you.
Yeah, she always does.
Jelly Beans joke of the week.
The Danny Bonaducci and Sarah Morning Show.
Who the hell are you?
On 102.5 KZOK.
And now, Jelly Beans joke of the week.
Hey there, Uncle Danny.
Good morning, sweetheart.
Are you ready for my joke?
I can't wait for your joke, sweetheart.
What do you call the wife of a hippie?
Well, I don't know. What do you call the wife of a hippie?
Mississippi.
That's great, man.
Man, that was so funny.
Yes, it was.
This is the Danny Bonaducci and Sarah Morning Show on 102.5 KZOK.
There's one funny kid. Well, coming up...
She's always funny, man.
Coming up, it is the news, and we're going to tell you about a brand new way for you to watch the Mariners as they head to the postseason. You're going to get the details next.